Welcome to episode 315 of Coffee Pods and Wads. Bill Fratley's bags are honestly legit. I use mine in Madison and I never struggled for space, even with clothes, laptop, mics and camera, all sorts of stuff in it. You can use CPW15 for savings on BillFratley's.com. GoWad.app to download and register with GoWad for your free trial. Adler uses it and he won the game, so obviously it's really good. Join.whoop.com/CPW to get a discounted membership and a free band. You can track your recovery and strain and use your body's info to build a complete picture and plan your days and your training. Get.fitter.training. You can join HWPO, Brute, The Training Plan, Invictus, Underdogs, the program. I can name users of fitters all day. There's good reason they're all with them. You can step up your programming to the next level on get.fitter.training. LSKD.co, and you can use CPW LSKD in all capitals for savings. They'll have their Madison gear going up on the website soon. If you're missing games content, go to YouTube and catch up on the vlogs from the games. You can search Coffee Pods and Wads on there, and you can subscribe and leave a comment as well. That would be great. Today's guest is Matt O'Keefe. We recorded live in Madison on Monday morning after the games. We chat about his role at HWPO, athletes, and the sport in general. Enjoy, listen, share, and tag. The morning after, the week before, I guess. Yeah. You were an official partner of the CrossFit Games this year. As opposed to, I guess, an unofficial partner in previous years. How do conversations like that come about? Do they approach you? Do you approach them?
Yeah, so they I'm trying to think of like the exact sort of timeline chronology there. We had been asking about, you know, what would access look like from a media coverage perspective for the CrossFit game. So it's just an open dialogue. And I think they went back and, you know, the partnership team, I think the overall team, just to kind of like figure out what was the right approach to, you know, ourselves and other, you know, big media platforms, which, you know, happen to be a lot of programming platforms can get access. And they proposed a partnership, which was really cool, honestly. We had a great week. I mean, it was a lot of fun. We really like to be active at events anyway. So like you were saying, you know, jokingly, we're an unofficial partner at most places that we go, because we, you know, dig in with volunteer workouts on site and off. It was, you know, it had been similar, just harder on site. And I think that was a realization they had last year, is can you do some more stuff on site? You know, a lot of people were drawn to things off site that we were doing. I'm like, sure. So, you know, it was a collaborative effort to figure out how to, you know, structure a partnership for a programming platform, which, you know, I mean, I guess you could say a lot of things are competitive with each other, but we all need to kind of work together to grow the overall ecosystem. And I think that was, you know, the mindset of the leadership team and the partnership team. And we haven't had a real, you know, deep post, or, you know, obviously it's only Monday, but I think we're all kind of smiling at how it went on site with the partnership, you know, what we were able to add, you know, and being, you know, for the first time, us being able to show up and actually activate our brand and sell merch, which was really cool. So, yeah, overall, honestly, today, the assessment would be it was awesome.
If you know, we kind of are getting to that, there's a new kind of breed of training camp now where we've moved to these kind of HQs and stuff. But on top of that, there's also, like, you know, if you think of HWPO, Proven, Mayhem, there are these activations and these, like, you know, merchandise is a huge part of it. Like, community is a huge part of it. And like branding, like, it is its own entity. I kind of feel like now, even if there was no training program behind either of those three things, the brand would still exist, because people like the brand now on top of the thing. Do you feel competition between those other brands in that respect? Not even just taking the training side of it aside, in respect of like, oh, Mayhem have done this, we should do something to, you know, to counter that, or to, you know, make us complement what they're doing by doing something similar to offer the same, or do you kind of
look outside of the sport for things that other sports or other brands are doing and try and do it that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good question. We don't do a whole lot of comparison yet. I think more of the latter. We spend a lot of time, you know, trying to find things, not even just in sports, I think in brand and marketing, that, you know, our success stories or people that are doing it really well, and say, like, you know, how can we use those tactics or approaches for, you know, bringing our brand to life and sharing our brand with others. I think on the front end, I think you're sort of asking about, like, the merchandising perspective. You know, are we competitive? Is that what you're asking? You know, I don't really look at, Matt and I are never looking at what are others doing. We're looking at what can we do to bring our brand to life and share with our community the best. And merchandise is not an area that we got into this to, you know, be incredibly focused on. We've brought more and more of that out because people have asked for it. Mm-hmm. You know, I said really early on, we've only been at it like a little over a year and a half now. I didn't want to be in the clothing business. I've been in that business before. Others do that really well. And, you know, we'd find ways to collaborate with people that were really good at that. This was our first sort of like public attempt at it. We've always shared with our members, you know, in small drops. And the response is really, honestly, overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's obvious that people really, you know, associate with our brand and want to wear it. So we'll look to ways, you know, four ways to bring that to life more and more. Again, I still, you know, with the thought that our core competency, our core product is helping people get better, you know, training physically and mentally, and the merchandise is just supplemental. So, but yeah, from a competitive perspective, I think a lot of people look at that, particularly those three camps you mentioned, and think that, you know, there's a lot of like headbutting and ramming and, like, you know, focus on each other. I don't spend any time in any meeting in our with our team in our headquarters, wherever we are, or on Zoom, you know, talking about, you know, how others are doing and we got to do this because of that. They do them, we do us. You know, people who trust us and want to, you know, be a part of our community. We work really hard to make sure they have great experiences at events like this, and that they can, you know, wear, you know, what, you know, they would probably say is their tribe, you know, our march and wave our flag. So,
I guess it's a slippery slope as well. If you start saying, like, oh, Mayhem have done X, Y, or Z, we need to, and then you end up just copying, just being a step behind everyone all the time.
Yeah. And I think that, When you look at, I mean, they do what, you know, they feel or their community wants, you know, or like what's a great experience, you know, pertaining to their brand.
Yeah.
And the same us, you know, if there's crossover, I think that would be, you know, coincidental, at least when it would come from us. I mean, honestly, I have no idea what either of them did this past weekend because we were so busy doing what we were doing. Yeah, I walked by their activations in Vendor Village, but I don't, you know, looks like they did a great job, you know, and good for them. You know, that's really cool. They have cool communities as well that, you know, love what they do and have a ton of fun with those guys. But I'm really proud of what we did and, you know, how we came to life for the first time, really, you know, in this capacity. We had a lot going on and off site. We ran 30 plus workouts. You know, we had a booth activation for the first time. Those are a lot of moving pieces. I mean, I've been in the event business, but, you know, for our team, a lot of those people haven't really gone to bat that way at an event. And everybody did a great job.
You mentioned your team there. I saw you guys put up a picture yesterday of, I think I counted like 12 or 13 people last year and then 23 or 24 people this year. Like, it's a growing team. Does that come with pressure or stresses of, like, you know, I guess obviously you don't want to become like bloated, or you don't want to have too many people, then you also don't want to put too much pressure on one person's shoulders trying to do three jobs when you could just take on a second person. Is there like a balancing act there?
Always, yeah. It's Matt and I were together. You probably saw it on my social. I got this before, this 22 photo stacked on top of 23 on the same set of steps from the house that we were on. And yeah, it is all about people and the right people, and I think supporting people that have too much to do, there's an evolution to, how we add is sort of predicated on, I don't even get into the formula, too deep there, but we've gotten really busy and really, have a lot of members to service, and we have a lot going on with partners and technology. So, the adding's just a necessary thing. But, we wouldn't just add people I don't think anybody's ever seen us, put out a job search. We generally would put it inside our network to see if members or people associated with us were interested. But, I don't worry. You referenced, sort of bloated or having too many people. We're always kind of, it's not understaffed, but we always run really lean. And I think most of it is, how we add has a lot to do with, spending time with someone at an event like this that might just be a temporary staffer or, somebody that's just contributing to this event and saying, wow, that person is really aligned with our values and our culture. We got to find a way to put them in our system. And, we might be lean or, as you referenced, bloated at times, but everybody that's a part of our team is the right person to be a part of our team. So, it's not bloated at that point. It's, good people that are in our system that are contributing to a better experience for members. But yeah, to look at that photo is really cool, honestly, because, Matt and I were talking about this earlier this week. Is not too long ago was just Sammy, myself, Matt, making a decision to move out on our own after him having launched with another platform. And I told our team, that's when we took that photo, I don't think Matt and I thought this quickly in our dreams, that we would be 20 plus deep. I mean, we had 30 plus people at this event. Full-time staff, I think we're at like 15. We never sort of thought that quickly, but we've had to add to make sure that, those that have now trusted us to train with us get the service. So it's, it's interesting. I wonder what people on the outside would look at that. I don't know if they, realize how involved the business like this is. There's technology, we have a building now that we have to service, and maintain. We have athletes that we train that takes a lot of service and coaching. We have a lot of members that need service. So
I think it's an easy thing as well to kind of gloss over and look at, like, if an outsider or someone who, I don't know, like, maybe isn't really looking that closely, sees HWPO, they see the coaches and the athletes, and they see maybe, like, a couple of brand people, a couple of marketing people, or a couple of, setting up meetings and that kind of stuff, and they forget about, like you're saying, all the ins and outs of, like, just day-to-day shit that needs to be done. And then having walked around at Vendor Village, and you see there was constantly people at the booths, and if there wasn't people at the booths just looking at stuff, there was a queue out the door to see whoever was coming, Christine or Matt or whoever was going to be there. And that all has to be organized, and that all has to be manned as well. Allegra says there, I got to say, the exclusive apparel drops make HWPO stand out, since the other training programs don't really do that. Yeah, so, I mean, it's frustrating from someone like my perspective, where you see online, like, bro, look at these amazing t-shirts, they're only for members. It's like, fuck. But then it is cool for the members that they get that exclusive access.
Yeah, it's
because the easy thing to do would be to just launch it and make money and just, you know what I mean?
That's not what it's about. Yeah. Honestly. And it was the first time that people had public access here to buy, and we did it online as well because, you know, we've heard that, you know, that's something that people are interested in. We will always have things that are exclusive to our hard workers, our members. That's important to us. Those are, you know, people that are working with us on a day-to-day basis, and we want things that, you know, they can wear pridefully that enhance their experience being a part of our team. But don't worry, I got you covered. I got some stuff in the trunk of my car over there. It is really cool that's what, you know, sometimes people are fighting about. It's like, you know, access to what we're doing, which is, you know, to us really humbling.
Yeah.
So
it's it's similar to like RAD, where for so long they had, and I don't think they did it intentionally, but they wanted a bit of a scramble for people to buy stuff, like that it was going to run out or whatever. So you want that exclusivity of, it's almost like winning when you get it, right? You know, like it's like you've won something by getting it. So if you're a member, or, you know, if you're in that circle group or whatever on HBPO and you see, oh, there's like clothes coming, it's like, well, I can get this and none of my friends can get it. So like, it's a win as well, you know, and it's like you say, it's the tribe thing too.
I don't think, like, you know, I think sometimes the reaction is when somebody doesn't, you know, get something we drop is, you know, that's intentional to create this stir. Mm. It's literally just that's not who we, that's not our business.
Yeah.
You know, we sort of like pick a number that, you know, a number of shirts or hats or whatever we're doing and say like, all right, well, let's just drop these. And I would say their response is a bit of the like problem in a positive way. Like people dive on those things and it just like never seems to, and we continue to like raise the bar so that, you know, more people can have access, and we'll have a more consistent approach to that stuff moving forward. You know, I think, you know, towards the end of this year, the beginning of next, we're going to, you know, cautiously approach, you know, a more consistent approach for members and others to be able to wear our brand. Again, it's not a business that I want to be, you know, our focus and our core competency, but it is clear that people want access to that stuff more consistently. So we'll have some staple things that people can access on a more consistent basis really soon.
Lab then, so that has happened since we spoke last as well, Lab, and you guys kind of joined forces and became one entity, I guess.
Right.
Are you still like actively involved with athlete management, or is Daniel have you kind of shipped it off to him more so?
Yeah, he is, you know, doing a lot of the work day to day. Him and Cooper. The intent there was that, you know, Jason St. Clair and myself started, you know, these agencies on our own. We're, you know, sort of doing what they're doing now, but, you know, more on our own by ourselves, managing a group of athletes. And, you know, he's got other things going on in his life in a really cool way. You know, whether it's his supplement brand or he's now a full-time firefighter, which is pretty amazing. But we wanted those two to have each other to lean on. They get along really well. By the way, there were two guys for Daniel and I that we got along really well with, even as separate businesses.
Yeah.
And I'm busy. It's the other side, you know, focusing on some really fun things with HWPO, obviously. A few other things going on and that are really fun, and yeah, Daniel's proved himself. You know, he's worked his butt off, and I have 1,000% trust in him, and have for a long time. You know, when we were at Loud and Live, he, you know, worked his butt off to develop trust with athletes and brands, and, you know, it was always my intent to help him speed that up. But I'm really proud of him, Cooper. Those guys have come a long way really quickly, a lot faster than Jason and I. But, you know, honestly, if I'm being truthful, and yeah, we're there, you know, on a consistent basis to answer their questions and help them with, you know, whatever they need, or be in conversations with brands that we have a lot of trust and history with. But I'm really excited for the space in general that those two guys are at the helm of what we're doing, because they're, you know, innovating and pushing really, you know, the market in the right way. So, and I, you know, I'm excited for our athletes too. They get to work with them. So yeah, those guys are awesome, and they've earned the right to be, you know, on, not on their own, but spread their wings and fly. It's their time.
What, like, I guess similar question to the training camp one. You also have these other, like, so you got strength in numbers in the UK. They have a lot of athletes, and Benji has joined them and brought a lot of, like, American athletes over. And then you have Backland Management and Snorri. They have a lot of athletes as well. Is there, like...
Morning.
Is there a clamber, like, for, like, how do those kind of situations happen? Like, say, I don't know, like, if an athlete performs well this weekend, do you guys try and organize a meeting with them, have a conversation with them? Is it more organic like than that, or is it more structured than that? Do you identify people who, like, oh, they've got a, you know, something about them and a bit of that X factor or whatever earlier than just at the games?
Yeah, there's no, I think, specific formula when it comes to that. Like, it's interesting. That's a really good question that I'm sure a lot of people would love to know. It's like, you know, do agents watch the floor here and say, oh, wow. You know, and is it this sort of opportunistic race off of, like, you know, some random, not random, but some newer athlete achieving something great or getting on the podium? There is, I think that from my experience historically, there's more of that from an athlete perspective. Like, I'll say, like, Laura Horvath's a good example. She came here, a virtual unknown, you know, finished second in her first year, and then business is like smashes you in the face in a situation like that, and then someone like that's looking for the right person to represent her. You know, I worked with her, you know, after that, so I would say, you know, I was involved in that, like her talking to a bunch of agents and finding, you know, someone that she trusted to then move forward with. We don't work with her anymore, by the way, just to be clear, but you know, and that evolution's cool too, like, find, you know, people making sure that they're the right fit for each other. And then we're very good at saying, you know, well, maybe Snorri's a better fit, or, you know, James is a better fit. But yeah, I think that the answer is, I'm sure there's plenty of shuffling going on today and tomorrow, in a positive way, because I think people that the athletes specifically have success on the floor and they're like, man, I need some help, you know, and they might not have had it leading in. You know, there's business opportunity for all of them off their successes and experience here. So, yeah, I mean, I would say from our perspective at Lab, we're not, you know, we don't particularly race around the day or weeks after the CrossFit Games. We work with a lot, you know, we have a lot of established athletes already, and we're always looking at what the future looks like. But for us, I would tell you that that's probably got a lot to do with before, off the floor, before the games.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah, certainly if an athlete comes to us after this and says, hey, I need help, we would review it, but we're not running around off of what happened this weekend and yesterday, you know, looking to compete with our other agencies either. Yeah. By the way, there's a lot of, there's a lot of love in that group. Like, we work really well together. There's, you know, and we want, you know, like I said before, there might be somebody that Daniel and Cooper work with, myself, Jason, historically, and we feel like, you know, maybe somebody either geographically or personality-wise is a better fit. In the end, I think, I don't know how the others deal with, but from our perspective, it isn't really about us. It's only about those guys getting what they need. They have a short window to make, you know, a living off of this and maybe change their own lives. So we don't really get in the way of that. If somebody else is a better fit, like, I mean, what's an example of that? Like, Snorri and Sarah, you know, I worked with Sarah. That was what was best for her.
Yeah.
At a certain point. And honestly, they've thrived together. And that's really cool. I'm proud that Snorri and I are friends still through all of that. And some people might look at that and say, wow, that must be really painful. Snorri got business that was yours at one point. No, it's about Sarah. You know, and Sarah's thriving from a business perspective, and Snorri's done a great job with her, honestly. And a lot of that has to do with where he's at, the passion they have for each other. They're both, you know, living in Iceland. But yeah, we look at it that way. It's really about those guys getting what they need. But we're not running around today. I mean, I probably could answer that in not 4 minutes and 20 seconds and said,
no, but no, we covered some ground. I like the ground we covered. When you do start having conversations with an athlete, then, so say I'm a brand and something remarkable happened and this podcast had a heap of money and I was like, I'm going to support an athlete, I'm going to sponsor an athlete. And I go to you and say, hey, I really want to work with, like, I don't know, Justin. And then, like, say Justin's book is full and it's like, no, he doesn't really have bandwidth to be doing that kind of stuff. Would you then say, like, just no? Or would you be like, no, but actually we also have, like, is that one of the benefits of having a stable of athletes that you can say, like, no, that's not actually going to be a good fit for Justin, but actually Christine will be really, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That is, I think that's the fascinating, like, and I think a lot of people wonder how that works. As much as I think the athletes, before they have representation and get involved, I think it's a concern, like, you know, how's this work when there's a, you know, sort of, seemingly a pecking order often finishes here, yeah. Even right, you know, who gets like quote unquote fed. I think it's what we're best at, honestly, and I have pride myself on my entire career is, you know, if somebody called about Matt, I wasn't talking to them about, you know, Tia or Katrin immediately. And to answer the question direct on that, if somebody called about Justin Medeiros to Daniel and said I want to work with him, you know, Daniel would, or we would, or whomever, you know, was on the receiving end of it, have a conversation with Justin. So he was well aware of, like, you know, what was the story and, you know, what come across. And if it was the answer that it wasn't a fit, you know, that decision had been made collectively with him, not immediately on a call like, hey, this isn't going to be a fit for Justin, but hey, what about X, you know, X, yeah. Y, and Z. And I think that's some of the biggest fears of the athlete pool is, you know, how does that get processed? And the way they get processed is through perfect communication with each of those athletes, like, hey, this came in for you. And if it's a pass for them, then it's, a clear understanding and, you know, that might be something that gets focused somewhere else.
Yeah, you don't want them, I suppose, in 6 months' time to be like, hey, is it true that such and such came looking for me? And yeah, I didn't, yes. Yeah.
That's not okay either, yeah. Right? Like, you know, and I've dealt with it my entire career of, you know, what, you know, particularly with, you know, when you're dealing with these, you know, alpha dogs at the top, you know, and I dealt with, you know, Matt and Tia and Katrin and Annie, particularly that list of people at a minimum, Pat and Brent, like we were working with all these people at the same time and just like really over communicating, you know, because I think from the outside people would, in fair or not, would look at me when I was an agent and be like, well, everything's just going to Matt. It's like, well, that's not true. That, you know, and those guys had to get comfortable with that through my communication. If anything, Matt would be a sort of fire starter for a lot, for the entire ecosystem at times, because people would watch him and be like, in that scenario you just described, might be like, hey, this isn't a fit for Matt. Well, somebody else gets that or is, you know, has an opportunity to get it because of that. So there's a positive and a negative side to that. But yeah, we're very clear on communication on things like that, because that's a very sensitive topic in how somebody might approach that. And I know we do a really good job of just communicating.
Is it regulated as heavily as other sports, do you think? Like, is it kind of looser than, say, football or baseball or whatever?
There's no regulation really, right? Just the law.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about that a bit in the past. With the PFAA, you know, and CrossFit, and had, you know, really open dialogue, and I think it's maybe something down line that, you know, I think there's like some other fish to fry. That's really right now, you know, and there's a lot of trust in that crew, and, you know, for the most part, in general, it's not, you know, I can't really point to a whole lot of stress in that group. We're like very aligned. We sit and talk as a group, even though there might be some competition at times for athletes. You know, and then
would you guys like, so say if I was one of your people you were working with because you had, I don't know, some kind of brain hemorrhage and we're just making bad decisions, but you were working with me and then you saw, like, say James works with like the Buttery Bros and Craig, right? So if you started working with me and you were like, geez, I have no idea like what this will command, would you like, is the relationship good enough for you to go to him and say, what kind of ballpark, like, would you, you know what I mean? Like, if it's out of your expertise, or if there's, like, a new brand that you don't work with yet, but that you know Snorri has worked with athletes, would you be like, have you any ideas of budget or that kind of stuff? Or do you just purely go yourself and talk to the brand and talk to the athlete or client or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, we're very collaborative, honestly. In general, I would never hesitate. I mean, one just walked by, you know, Mike. We would talk. Yeah, I mean, honestly, that just comes down to humility. If I don't have an answer, I ask a question.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, same with those two. That's hard. You know, I've dealt with it with Daniel in a really positive manner. Like, you know, he's brilliant, bright, you know, wanting to prove himself. That's somebody told me once growing up that the Losers' national anthem was "I Did It My Way" by Frank Sinatra. It's so true. If you think about it, like, there isn't anything for the most part that somebody else hasn't experienced. So yeah. Why wouldn't you just, you know, look to collaborate where you can? So yeah, there's a lot of collaboration. There's a lot of there's agents or pockets of that are closer with other brands, and so yeah, I think. I'm sure there's competitiveness at times because, you know, there's only so much budget that can go around.
Yeah.
But I think if we're all doing the right thing, and the, you know, and I feel like from my experience with the CrossFit space, you know, this is my now 10th CrossFit Games. I feel like, you know, maybe I, you know, when I first was, well, when I was just focused doing sports marketing and representation, I took that really seriously as to making sure that the brands were getting what they need as much as the athletes, because it was such a tender system that was coming together at that time. And if you, you know, if you like took a blood out of the stone approach, which some do in our space, and I don't agree with it at all, because I think it's, if we look historically at it and those that have done that, you've hurt good people or brands and they're not around anymore.
Yeah.
And so I think that there are plenty of us that get that that can't be the approach, and we collaborate. Because, you know, honestly, if XYZ brand, you know, best looks on somebody that's in our system, or it's, you know, it's very obvious that it looks best on somebody in our system, and, you know, you're sort of protective as another agent knowing that there's budget going out to athletes, and then they're not successful, I think we all lose and fail at that point. And there are plenty of guys that are doing this, and girls, some great minds that are now on the agency side and developing, that get that and collaborate.
What about, this is just like basically a personal advice question now at this stage, but like when you, so say like tier come in, do you just like pick a number, you know, like how do you work out your is it based off, say, current athletes, what you know they're on, what you, and then you compare the athletes of like, okay, well, here's their reach, or here's their engagement, or here's their success on the floor or whatever. So is there some kind of like metric that you use to do that? Say I have brands talk to me, and like most of the time I literally just pick a number out of thin air. And then if they say yes, I'm like, shit, I should have asked for more. Like, I don't have a clue. But like, is there like, say, a common metric in the space for CrossFit that's like, similar but different to one for baseball or football or whatever?
Yeah, I think that's where we have a really distinct advantage at Lab, because we represent so many athletes, you know, of all different shapes and sizes from a social perspective, you know, and a brand perspective. And so we understand the market really well. To answer your question directly, yeah, there's definitely metrics that we use to point towards to understand how we would value something. And categories are different. You know, how much work is put on the athlete opposed to just their image. So it's not, there's no simple answer to that, honestly. It's, well, I think that's the advantage of working with guys like Cooper and Daniel, myself and Jason, is that we have all the most experience on that side. But by the way, go back to your prior question, we share some of that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, because it's really, I don't want somebody not getting paid and then the inverse, somebody getting, I mean, it's not overpaid. I mean, I think some agents would look at getting more money or overpaid as a victory. It's a loss.
Yeah, it's long-term.
Long-term,
like,
that company's just going to pull out or gives them a bad experience. So it's a responsibility to be right on these things. You're not always, you get it, you know, but at the same time, push for your clients to make the most money that they possibly can. Mm. It's sensitive, right? So yeah, we have, I'm not going to share that with you, but we have things that are very formulated and we have things that are not, that have been field-based over time. I've had mentors that are agents in other industries that have helped me with that stuff. It helped me be, more data-driven than field-driven.
Yeah.
But yeah, we definitely have an in-depth approach to stuff like that.
That's cool. The CrossFit Games, and speaking of brands and deals and stuff, so it's looking like Noble are. I mean, I saw them put cross training on one of their posts there the other day, so I feel like that relationship might be over. If you were a gambling man, do you have inklings of what 2024 CrossFit Games might sound like? Do you think it'll be a branded? Do you think it'll be like the tier CrossFit Games or the Yeti CrossFit Games or whatever? Or do you think it'll be more like, the Super Bowl, where it's like the CrossFit Games with whoever, and that might change annually or whatever, maybe it might be more than one company. Like, do you see it changing the structure that it currently has?
I don't know how to answer that today. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty going on, and I have some exposure at times, but depending on what the brands are, I don't see, like, necessarily a lot of chaos. I mean, we've had a great year as an industry, so that's a really good opportunity for someone, no matter who it is, to come and be, a little catering. Somebody to be involved at that level.
Yeah.
Will it be Noble? I don't know. I'm not super connected to,
Do you think it makes a difference having Don? Like having someone that's...
I mean, I could do a whole show on Don. I am a huge fan. And that's through my experience. I've been around a long time now. I've got the great, you can see in my gray beard here. I have a lot of gratitude for Don. I met him here last year, and he was doing a lot of listening.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think was like a very good but different approach to someone that had come in that role before. And then, through the snowball of, gaining understanding, he started to take some action. And this sounds obvious, but he's a man of his word. He does everything he says he's going to do. But he's very proactive.
One of the most remarkable things about him, and this is something so small and innocuous and probably a bit selfish, but I met him. So he was on the show, 6 or 7 months ago. And I bumped into him in Berlin. And he, within 3 seconds, shook my hand, said my name, asked me how I was. And he did the same, ran past me a couple of times at the games. And just thousands of people there. Picked me out of a group of people as he ran past, called me by name, said hello, said I hope you're well. Shit like that is not easy to do. Not easy. He has a lot of plate spinning, but stuff like that matters to people. And all the stuff you're saying matters as well. But I just think that level, he obviously cares. My job, there's a lot of people I work with that I don't know their name, but it's because I don't care. Whereas if I go to a CrossFit event, there's people whose name I do know because I care, and I might only see them once a year,
He's, I think a little bit of that is, what the experience has been through the culture, which has changed drastically through his leadership and some others. I think I guess the point would be is you don't want to celebrate, what's logical, but that is, again, an extraordinary feature.
I have never seen so many bin trucks. God, it is unbelievable. There must be a station here or something.
That is a strength of his.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just a good dude, honestly. Yeah, like, yeah. If you come down to it, like, he's just a regular guy that gets it and wants to do good things with people, you know, grow the space and the pie. He doesn't really, you know, like, we're off of, like, who owns what at this point, which is really positive, because if you just grow the market share for everybody grows with it. So, yeah, he's honestly, we should do a whole show. You can bring him on the backside and tell him how much gloated about him, because honestly, he's awesome. And I'm really excited about what's ahead, because he wants to roll his sleeves up and have tough conversations to get better and grow. And dude, that's where we need to be right now. And as do others, by the way. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, Dave's back and saw him this weekend, and dude, he did a great job. Like, I want to give a huge, you know, round of applause for him with this too. You know, he was focused on all the right things here, and he knows how much work is ahead. And you know, he led from the front. He did a great job, and so I'm really bullish and excited about what the future looks like with those that are involved, especially Don.
This Vakey saying that's my dad.
Vakey, you're awake.
Yeah, awakey.
The boys and girls went from HWPO went to the after party last night. Wow. I did not
go
to that. So I'm wondering how that all played out. Did we have a good time?
He might be seeing double letters on his keypad. So is it 10 you need to finish up at?
It's
10 to now.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do like 5 more.
Yeah, that's good.
So the HWPO, obviously coming into the game season then, you had certain expectations, I suppose, of what it was going to look like on, say, the actual competition side of things.
Yep.
I mean, it's hard not to be disappointed, I guess, with how it panned out. Like, I mean,
very true.
Does it make it easier that a lot of people that were expected to perform didn't perform as well as just HWPO? Or is it like, and I suppose a follow-up to that would be, like, in other sports, like in football and those kind of things, the whole group would get together, sit down, watch video back, talk about what went right, what went wrong, what can we do differently. Do you, like, when it's a group of athletes who are individual competitors, do you do that separately with each one, or do you all sit down together and say, okay, like, what? Or would it be like all Jake's athletes sit down together? How does that look?
No, you know, yeah, we're a family more than a team, you know, but we are a team, but we don't. We wouldn't post, you know, an event like this with a group. We would individually. They're all individual athletes. You know, you have to treat them like that. That's what they deserve. We're proud of each and every one of them and their results, because they worked their ass off to be here. And two things, like, I care about all the athletes. I want them to be safe and have success, but I don't care what others did that from a comparison perspective, as like, you know, giving us comfort and all, it wasn't just us. It's not, no, I'd rather be the ones here that actually had figured it out, and it was everybody else that couldn't. We take responsibility and it very personally when our people don't get where they came here to get, you know. That's as much on us as anyone, and we will be back and get better. I promise you that. And it'll be a different look forward. It was a tough year for a lot of people. It was for us. You know, I think, like, you know, we've had some incredible results with, you know, Katrin. That was pretty special what she accomplished this year.
Especially having not been back.
Back, and she, you know, she, I mean, just the way she's wired too, you know, she'll look at like these micro little pieces of her weekend and saying, wow, I could have podiumed. So she's like, I'm ready for next year. But yeah, and I mean, like, you look at the rest of them, there was a lot going on with some like Amanda, as people saw on her post, in a really positive way, that, you know, took her energy and focus on some things.
I kind of feel like stuff like that is kind of acceptable, like when it's that kind of energy that's being taken.
Not to her,
like,
though. I talked to her last night, and she's just like, you know, not pumped about her results, which is what makes it really cool. It's a journey. You know, obviously Jason sticks out, you know, who we're insanely proud of. I mean, Jason is the fittest he's ever been.
And the thing I'll say about Jason as well is he missed out, but in that last event, like, I remember seeing, like, if he had finished it 1 second faster or something, he would have made the cut. But, like, that dude was drooling. He was, like he was not mentally present with, like, he was trying so hard. It's not, like, through lack of effort. It was, like, he was literally dead on the floor. Like, he gave everything at the last.
Sometimes it's, I think a lot of, like, this is great for fans to hear is, you know, I mean, I will tell you across the board, all of them are measurably better than they were at semifinals and last year at the games. And, you know, but sometimes that's a part of it, you know, where they know, you know, they know how much better they are. And then that creates expectations. And then expectations can be, you know, the theft of success at that point. You know, you can, you know, create anxiety, stress, and focus around things that aren't what you need to be doing in order to be successful. And I'm not saying that's any of it, because we all have to post, but, you know, you look at Jason and, man, we're proud of that kid. Like, he has come so far, and he is better than he was last year. There are some things that come up that are, you know, things that we need to work more on. By the way, we were working on, you know, biking, you know, obviously, some gymnastics stuff, but he's awesome, and he's licking his wounds and wants to, you know, win this thing at some point. And that's the pressure we would be involved in, and we want to be involved in. But sometimes that stuff's overwhelming. So, you know, when you're dealing with such a physical sport, people don't realize how much the mental side affects their results. You know, your body can't react to being it can't be its best if stress is depressing it. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. So back to the drawing board, and we'll be back. I mean, it's not confusing to us, I will say that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, oh my God, I can't believe we missed that.
Yeah, what went wrong?
You know, there's a lot of factors involved. And I can tell you this, like, people were fitter, and they will be fitter and better next year. We will have holes sewn up. Or glued shut, and these guys will be back on that floor better.
Trish, in one of the only comments I can ever share from Trish, said expectations lead to disappointment, which is accurate.
Very accurate.
Someone else says Hopper gave up, which I cannot disagree with more. Just go back and watch the footage of him in that last workout where, like, he was like,
I want to be direct with that, and everybody's entitled to their opinion, but that's very unfair. That's somebody that doesn't know Jason. You know, you might look at him like standing on the floor, putting his hands on his knees. That's not giving up. That's a guy that's given everything they got. Like, Jason gives 100% effort every time he's on a floor or in our gym, and that's all we've ever asked of him. And I'm telling you right now that that isn't the problem. Jason did not give up. Jason would never give up. We wouldn't want to be a part of anything that didn't want to give full effort.
Yeah.
Jason is. Jason's like a child to Matt and I, and I promise you one thing. He's hurting right now because he knows he gave everything he had, and he didn't have a fastball fast enough to get where he wanted to get. So, that's just not a fair assessment.
What about next year then? So, are we expecting changes? Are we expecting athletes that are currently with HWPO not to be with HWPO?
Hold on 1 second here. So here, let me just help whoever that is with this. No, he is very fit. If you had listened to my prior explanation about this, that, you know, sometimes expectations have a very big effect on how somebody can perform. And just to re-explain that, if somebody thinks or wants to win, it puts pressure on themselves. That's stress, anxiety, lack of sleep. Those things contribute to someone not being physically able to perform the way that they've been prepared. So Jason is very fit. He's fitter than he's ever been. He had a tough year. And we don't know precisely to a T in a point exactly what that is. But we do know, and we've gone through it with him, it's not fitness related or preparation related. Yeah, some micro things, but not enough to not make a cut or be in the spots that he should be looking at being in. You know, we've got to look at, you know, expectations, you know, how he has felt going into years that maybe he thought he could win. Because certainly, honestly, and it's not just an us thing, a lot of people felt that way about him coming in, and I think that was fair. He was that fit and looked that good, so. yeah, I you know, and again, you're entitled to your opinion, but he's not fit. And, you know, you could say that about Justin Medeiros. He's not fit, I promise you. Justin was prepared to win the CrossFit Games. I've watched him. He's a friend. You know, our agency represents him. He just, you know, had some things that came up, either skill-wise. And there's a lot of pressure on a guy like Justin. I promise you, I went through this with Matt. People don't realize how that affects a human in their body and their performance in such a physically demanding sport. So there's a lot more to it.
Are we expecting changes of the roster? Are we expecting more? Leave them alone. I expect more people coming in. Or are you expecting people leaving? Or are you like, would you ever venture into team? Like, are we expecting like drastic changes or more and more of the same?
We will have some more people coming on. If I'm being fair, I'm not to dance around that. Who that is, you know, will be, you know, announced sooner than later. Really excited.
Would it be fair to say if you've been paying attention, it would probably be easy to enough to work out?
you can make your best guesses there. I'm excited about that. It's been fun. There's been a lot of people that have asked, and you know, we're excited to find people that really fit our culture great and run with them. We've been asked about that. I don't know. I mean, it was never really something that Matt was super
interested. I feel like you need a different coach, really.
Yeah, we have teams that train our program, but I don't think we're going to – I don't know. I never say never, you know, in case something come up. Like if a guy like Matt was like, I want to do team, you know, yeah, of course we would go do team, you know. But I don't – you know, I don't see – there hasn't been anything significant there. I'm excited. We have some cool stuff coming this year, some cool people. Sorry, this guy's driving me crazy, making excuses. I promise you one thing as we finish. He's trying to get me to not talk about it, but we don't make excuses. I'm not making an excuse for Jason. I'm not making an excuse for any of our results. We own it. We have to get better. But you said that Jason isn't fit. That's false. So I'll just leave it at that. There's no excuses. Jason didn't perform the way he wanted this year. We all have to get better to help him get better. But you know, I guarantee you that Jason was very fit. I know that for a fact. That's objective.
So how is Mal?
She's great. She's doing really good. I talk to her most days. You know, we connected at least via text every day. She's really good. Honestly, I'm really proud of her. This is obviously a tough week, you know, for her. Yeah. Not being here and being on the sidelines, and someone that's so competitive and works so hard for, you know, the opportunity to win that title. So, yeah, she got through it and she's doing great. She being a 19-year-old, which is exactly what she should be doing right now. She's come a really long way. I'm excited to see her, talk to her more. It's been so busy the last couple of weeks that it's been very quick, but we've been connected. So she's doing awesome, man. Really good.
All right. Well, thank you. It's been great to catch up with you. Good luck with. I hope you have a break now. I hope you have a couple of weeks off.
Going away. I'm taking 2 weeks off with my family. I need to lick the wounds a little bit.
Just recuperate a bit. Hibernate.
Yeah, we're going to recoup. We're going on a trip with Katrin and Brooks and my family.
If Brooks is going, I assume it's an exotic location then, is it?
It's pretty damn cool. Yeah. So you'll see some of it on my social pretty soon.
That's good.
Yeah, it's pretty badass.
That's good. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you, dude.